Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't know if we had you on after the Mr. Rogers incident. What office did you hold then? And, you know, you go to see a Mr. Rogers. It looked like an afternoon matinee. My wife and I saw it, so I remember it. And a mob just determines they're going to drive you out of the theater.
Yeah, you're giving me PTSD over this. I'm kidding. No, I was attorney general then. And, we went to see Mr. Rogers, and these idiots came up, and one, like, it was gross, spit on the top of my head, and they were screaming at me, and I had security detail then even. And it was bad. It was ugly. And they didn't even know what they were talking about, shock, or why they hated me or why they were yelling at me. It was when they had that orchestrated effort around the country when they were going after all Republicans.
Okay.
And what they were saying to me didn't even make sense. So anyway, went, sat through the movie, couldn't concentrate very well, and I said, you know what, I'm going out the door I came in. These people are not, I told the police that, I go, they are not going to force me to go out a back door. So we went out the front door, and then that's when the video was captured of them yelling some more. But the best part about it was the producer of the Mr. Rogers movie called me to tell me how bad he felt. And Mr. Rogers' widow wanted to tell me.
Oh, my goodness. That is a heck. You know,
I thought that was pretty cool.
You have every credential in the world, but I go a long way to voting for you. You said, we're going to go down Broadway to your security detail. I'm going out the front door no matter what. I wish more people would do that. Yeah, but, ma'am, you can't do that. There might be people out. No, I have a public right to go out that front door. They're not going to stop me from doing that.
Yep, I said, I'm not going to be bullied. That's what they want, you know, and they're just, they did this all over the country, and I can't remember, Dom, if this one was Soros-funded or not. It was, you know, it was one of those orchestrated groups where they were all on this, like, dark web, and they would all text each other when there was a sighting of certain Republicans out, and then they would all show up and try to cause trouble, which is what they did. But, you know, all it did was just, you know, take time away from the police from doing their job, and just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk Hunter Biden now. How you see
talk
this?
About
both
idiots.
Yeah, both politically. both politically and legally. The narrative here with Hunt. What's your biggest takeaway? We'll start with that from the aftermath of the trial. Now,
the biggest takeaway is for me as a career prosecutor. You know, I prosecuted for 18 years before I was attorney general. To me, the biggest takeaway was that these jurors were not impacted by Jill Biden, by James Biden wearing his bright green blazers so they'd all see him, by Joe Biden's sister, by the whole family sitting in the front row during the trial. These jurors actually, you know, another one I think just interviewed with Fox today, and they're very cautious on what they say, but they're saying, you know, we didn't let politics influence our judgment. And I firmly believe that's why Hunter Biden went to trial. I mean, he thought he could get sympathy. He thought he could get basically a pardon from the jury, a jury nullification. And he didn't. These people followed the law and the facts of the case and how the facts applied to the law. And, it should have been an open and shut case. It was. And you know, when people say, oh, this case would have never been I've heard Republicans say this. This case would have never been prosecuted if it wasn't Hunter Biden. They wouldn't have gone after him. Well, that's not true. I've talked to plenty of federal prosecutors who have handled cases like this. Tons of gun cases get prosecuted. This one had so much evidence. How do you not prosecute it if it's sitting on your desk? You know, even if it's Joe Smith, the guy's girlfriend who he got addicted to crack, threw the gun in the dumpster near a school, got captured on video. I mean, the whole set of facts is truly astounding. Got the gun out. The police come. Of course, Hallie Biden is going to flip on him because she was in trouble. And you can't, I'm a big Second Amendment person, but there's a reason why somebody like Hunter Biden shouldn't have a gun. And if you listen to the facts of that case, if you saw all that evidence on the laptop, then, you know, he was an active crack addict. And why the heck was that guy in the middle of all that whose family is so about gun control, wanting to buy a gun and keeping it in his car when he's around his girlfriend's kids, also his nieces and nephews, and his own kids. So
yeah, exactly.
It was an easy case.
Now, put your both things together now. How do we break through? Because we know the media home court advantage. You've had to go through that. I know you take on all comers with this stuff. How do we distinguish the Trump case in the most effective way to be able to push back? Because that's a narrative. See, what does Trump have now? Hunter Biden was convicted, too.
Well, Hunter Biden wasn't convicted of the most serious things, but the cases that could have implicated Joe Biden and James Biden, the Justice Department let the statute of limitations run on all of those cases. Mm-hmm. In President Trump's case, at best, and they didn't have this, it was a misdemeanor, and they had to tack it on to felonies because the statute of limitations had long run. Multiple jurisdictions had declined to prosecute this because there was no case. The Southern District of New York, Cy Vance, everyone declined to prosecute this case. And lo and behold, after President Trump is a candidate again to run for office, they try to resurrect dead misdemeanors. They attach them to 34 felonies. I sat in that courtroom with President Trump. That judge hated Donald Trump. I watched it. He hated the defense attorneys. He ruled every step of the way in favor of the prosecution. This case will be reversed on appeal, no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind, from jury selection all the way through jury instructions given by this judge. And, you know, their short-term goal is what they accomplished.
Yes,
now they can
exactly.
go around and say that President Trump was convicted.
In your judgment, is this judge open to the worst, to committing the president to jail?
I think this judge is open to anything. Again, it's a short-term win for them. They hate President Trump. Sitting in that courtroom, I mean, you could just see the disdain in that judge's eyes. The way he talked to the defense attorneys who were so respectful to him, he was so disrespectful to the defense attorneys and, again, ruled every step of the way in favor of the prosecution. So this judge isn't stupid. He knows this case is going to be reversed. So it's about a short-term win for these people. And remember, his daughter is making a fortune on this case for the Bidens with all of her social media.
Now, Pam, you were
the judge's daughter.
Yeah, Pam Bondi with his former attorney general and former special advisor to President Trump, the Office of White House Counsel. The media today is underplaying this. And I'm in Philadelphia, where one of these people apparently was caught. These eight people, potentially ISIS, the worst form of ISIS in Russia, brought in by the FBI now. They went through the border. They were vetted and told, yeah, go into the country.
Yeah, that's so frightening. And, you know, Chad Wolf is a dear friend of mine who was head of Department of Homeland Security. It's frightening for our country. It's frightening for our world. And that's why, Dom, people are scared. People are seeing this, what's happening, how they're letting these people walk in our country. They're not vetting them. They're claiming they're vetting them. They're not trying to vet them. And you know, we've all said all along these could be potential terrorists. And now we know they are. And that's what people see about Donald Trump. He kept our country safe. He kept our borders closed. He did everything to protect Americans, and that's not what's happening in our country now, nor in our world.
Absolutely. Well, Pam, what are you up to now? What role do you have now? We're glad you're helping out with the Trump campaign. What else are you up to?
Thanks, Dom. I'm practicing law. I represent, in my lobbying capacity, my only client, I represent all the sheriffs, the major county sheriffs in the country. So
oh, that's
I love
a good
that.
That's a good client. Well, yes,
that's
exactly.
That's right. So yeah. I'm having fun, and it's fun to help conservative clients. You know, I was out in Nevada doing an event on national security with Sam Brown and Morgan Ortegas and KT McFarland, and Sam Brown just won his primary, so we're thrilled about that. So just doing a lot to hopefully help the conservative cause in our country.
Well, Pam, thank you. Anytime you're in this area, we certainly would love to meet you and have you in studio. Thank you, though, for joining us today.
Thank you. I would love that.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.